بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن والاه وبعد. This evening, this is our seventh session reading from التوضيح والبيان لشجرة الإيمان, the clarification and elucidation of the tree of faith by Imam عبد الرحمن بن ناصر السعدي رحمه الله. And tonight, inshallah, we're going to take the next evidence that the Shaykh mentioned, which he's bringing in support of what we have been covering for the last few sessions, that is, any proofs from the Qur'an and from the Sunnah of the comprehensive definition of Iman, that Iman includes speech, actions, and as well, the beliefs or the convictions that one holds in their heart. That Iman actually encompasses the whole of the deen. The things that are seen outwardly, the outward actions, as well as the actions of the heart, the inward affairs. That Iman also includes morals and character. That it includes everything that is an act of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we're going to look into that a little bit more tonight with the next evidence. Before we do that, let's go back quickly and look at some of the issues that we dealt with last week in question and study guide number 6. And by the way, the last question on the study guide from last week, the 7th question, we didn't cover. So we're going to just take the first 6 questions. I did send out a modified study guide with only 6 questions. I don't know if who received it or who didn't. But in any case, we're going to deal with the first 6 questions. The 7th question, inshallah, we're going to discuss tonight. So the first question from last week's session was discussed the author's explanation of why the mention of Iman is sometimes followed by al-a'mal as-saliha, or taqwa, or sabr. How has the author, rahimahullah, explained the reasoning behind Iman being followed sometimes by the mention of righteous deeds, or patience, or taqwa? Naam. To highlight the importance of certain aspects of Iman, like righteous deeds, or patience, or taqwa, that are part of Iman, but to highlight the importance, to show the need for those aspects of Iman, as well as the conviction that's in the heart. That it's not sufficient that a person has Iman in their heart, or claims Iman in their heart, and then they don't have any other manifestations of Iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions righteous deeds after mentioning Iman, even though righteous deeds are part of Iman, to remind us, to make us to know and to understand, in case a person might imagine that what they have in their heart is sufficient, the conviction or the acknowledgement or the confession to the reality of La ilaha illallah, in case they imagine that that acknowledgement in their heart is sufficient and it doesn't require the other manifestations of Iman, including speech and actions and character and morals, and obedience to Allah and obedience to His Messenger and whatever He has legislated for us, from the external as well as any internal matters that are part of Iman. The second question, give an example from the Quran showing the mention of Iman followed by the mention of al-a'mal as-saliha, righteous deeds. Some of the ayats that we mentioned, I just mentioned one, 18th surah, 107th ayat, but there were other ayats that we mentioned. If somebody can remember one of those ayats, either from Surah Al-Kahf or other than that, where Allah mentions Iman and then He mentions al-amal as-salihat. Naam. I'm sorry.
Inna alladhina amanu wa amilu salihati kainat lahum jannatul firdausi nuzula.
Naam. Those who believe and do good deeds, do righteous deeds, then they will have gardens of firdaus, as a residence and a provision to enjoy, in paradise. And in this ayat and other similar ayats, it is made clear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised great rewards and benefits for the people whose iman is manifested, not just inwardly, but manifested outwardly in their actions, in doing righteous deeds, in doing the things that Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam have ordered us with, acts of obedience to Allah. that every act of obedience to Allah increases one's iman, strengthens one's iman. And the opposite is also true. Yani the absence of doing those things that are pleasing to Allah, yani, are the causes for our decrease or weakening of our iman. The third question, give an example from the Quran showing the mention of iman followed by the mention of taqwa. This is in 10th surah, 62nd, 63rd ayah that the shaykh mentioned. Mention of iman followed by a taqwa. Okay. Naam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the awliya of Allah that they will have no khawf, no hazan, yani they wouldn't fear nor would they grieve. And then he describes who they are, alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqun. They are the people who have iman, and in addition to iman, they also have taqwa. And some of the scholars have explained yani this meaning, and the shaykh explained it also in what he mentioned last week briefly, is that yani the meaning here of at-taqwa is that a person guard themselves from engaging in the things, the acts of disobedience to Allah, the things that Allah is displeased with. That not only do you have to have yani iman in the heart, yani conviction in the heart, and you have to also do yani actions of iman, but also you have to avoid the things that are displeasing to Allah, acts of disobedience. Because every act of obedience is a part of iman. And the opposite is also true. The acts of disobedience decrease a person's iman, weakens a person's iman, or maybe nullifies it. Yani if it's an act of kufr. Because some acts of disobedience are kufr, and some are not, as we will discuss tonight. Naam. The fourth question mentioned the famous Tabi'i, rahimahullah, Talq ibn Habib's response when he was asked to explain what is taqwa. How did he explain his taqwa? Naam.
He said that a person acts upon obedience to Allah based upon a light from Allah, and that that iman is part of that is hoping for the reward from Allah, and that they abandon disobedience also based upon that light from Allah.
Fearing the punishment of Allah. And we didn't discuss last week this statement of Talq ibn Habib rahimahullah in detail, but the meaning here that is intended, that taqwa, it is doing acts of obedience to Allah based upon a light from Allah. The light from Allah is the iman. That's the cause or the source from which righteous deeds spring forth. Based on a light from Allah, based on having iman. Hoping for the reward of Allah. That's the goal, the objective, that a person does acts of obedience, hoping for Allah's reward. And the opposite is also true. Yani that taqwa is also that a person leave off, abandon acts of disobedience to Allah, based on a light from Allah. Based on what? Based on having iman. That iman caused them to avoid acts of disobedience, yani fearing the punishment of Allah. So there should always be the cause or the source from which that action springs. Doing good deeds or avoiding evil deeds, and that is iman. And there should also be a goal that a person is hoping in doing acts of obedience to Allah, hoping for the reward of Allah, in avoiding disobedience to Allah, yani fearing the punishment of Allah. And this definition is, as Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah says, one of the best definitions of at-taqwa. And if a person thinks about the meaning here, not from an academic perspective, but really dwells on what is being said here, that a person who has iman, their iman should motivate them to do things that are pleasing to Allah, to do acts of obedience to Allah, and to avoid acts of disobedience to Allah, with an hope, anticipation, and expectation of earning the reward of Allah, and avoiding His punishment. This is taqwa. Question number 5. Memorize the dalil from the Quran, 47th surah, surahs al-Hujurat 7 and 8, or even just, yani, 7th ayah. Which shows the love of iman must, which shows that love of iman must necessarily be accompanied by hatred of kufr, disbelief, fusuq, wickedness, the greater sins, and asyan, disobedience, or the lesser sins. And the ayah from Quran, Surah Hujurat. And this ayah, by the way, yani there are some comments that we wanted to make about this ayah, which we didn't mention last week. Today we're going to start with that, inshallah. What is the ayah here that we're talking about? Huh? حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانَ وَزَيَّنَهُ إليكم الكفر والإسيان. نعم. أولئك هم الراشدون. جزاك الله خير. جزاك الله خير. Anyone help us with the meaning of this ayah? The meaning of the ayah? Yes. Yeah.
The Lord has dared love the faith to you and has beautified it in your heart and has made disbelief, wickedness and disobedience to Allah and His Messenger hateful to you. Such are the right to God.
No. Anybody want to add to that anything? Huh? يعني and the next ayah he said فضل من الله ونعمة والله عليم حكيم. So the point here in this ayah is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that from His favor and His bounty يعني upon us is that He has made iman يعني something endeared, beloved to the believer, that they love the iman and that it's attractive to them, and the opposite with kufr and fusuq and isyan, He made it something that you detest, that you abhor, that you hate, that you dislike. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by His favor and His bounty, He has placed this in our heart. Love for iman, hatred for kufr. And this is very, very important. That a person acknowledge and recognize and be thankful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made in our hearts, yani a love, has granted us yani this love for iman. And everybody doesn't have it. And hatred for kufr, everybody doesn't have it. This is a favor from Allah. It's not something because we were so educated or we were so good, better than other people. Rather, it's the gift from Allah, the favor and bounty of Allah that He gives to whoever He wills. And He knows best. Yani who is, yani who would be grateful, who is best to receive it. And He places it where it best should be placed. The last, and we're going to come back to this ayah, as I said, have a little bit of discussion about it. And then the last question mentioned the three qualities of the one who tasted halawatul iman, the sweetness of faith, yani from the hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Let me get my watch out so I can watch the time. Anybody remember the three qualities or even one? Naam, fadl.
One. One, to love Allah and His Messenger more than anything, anybody or anything.
That a person has love for Allah and His Messenger more than anyone or anything else besides them. Naam. Second one. Hate for the sake of Allah. Before that, and the second one he said is related to, yes.
Love the believer for the sake of Allah.
Yani loving a believer and not loving them for anything except for the sake of Allah, not for any other reason. Loving someone only for the sake of Allah, not for any other reason. And the last thing he said, hating, naam?
Hating to return to kufr after Allah has saved you from it.
Hating to return to kufr after Allah has saved you from it. In one of the narrations, and in the narrations that the Shaykh mentioned here, yani to abandon one's deen in the same way that you hate being thrown into the hellfire. And also this particular hadith, there was a comment that we wanted to bring last week, inshallah we're going to mention it tonight. That's going to be the second point before we go into the evidence that the Shaykh mentions next. Okay, this hadith about the halawat al-iman, the three characteristics. If a person, yani, achieves those three characteristics, then they will taste the sweetness of iman, meaning that their heart will be at rest and their soul will be at rest and they will be content with what Allah has given them and they will enjoy, yani it will be a pleasure. It will be something that is sweet, that you enjoy, yani obedience to Allah. You enjoy obeying Allah, doing acts of obedience to Allah. Okay, so the first point that we want to make from last week is the ayah from Surah Al-Hujurat, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ. Yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is directly referring to the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when this ayah is revealed. that the Prophet ﷺ is amongst them, and if he were to obey them in many things, and it would cause some hardship. But instead, what Allah has done, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمْ الْإِيمَانِ. Allah is saying to them, but He has made endeared to you al-Iman. وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. And He has made it, He has adorned it, and He beautified it in your hearts, so that it's attractive, so that it's beautiful to you. وَقَرَّ إِلَيْكُمْ الْكُفْرُ وَالْفُسُوقُ وَالْإِسْيَانِ. And He has made it detestable, hated, abhorrible to you, yani these three things. Al-Kufr, yani acts of disobedience that take you out of Islam. And Al-Fusuq, acts of disobedience that don't take you out of Islam, but they are major acts of disobedience. And Isyan, also acts of disobedience that don't take you out of Islam, but they are not from the major acts of disobedience, but nonetheless, they are still, yani, disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said He made all of this hateful to you, detestable to you. Not only kufr, but even less than kufr. Any act of disobedience, whether it's from the kabair or the saghair, those things which are greater sins or lesser sins, Allah has made it, all of it, yani something that is detested in the heart of the mu'min. And this reminds us that whenever we find something that we know is disobedience to Allah, we find joy in it or pleasure in it, then we know that there's something wrong that we need to address. That's a serious matter. And when you find pleasure in something that you know, it's not that you didn't know, you know this is yani displeasing to Allah, you know this is disobedience to Allah, and you find pleasure in it, something wrong with that. There's something wrong with that. And it means our iman, we need to work on it. We need to yani go back to it, examine it, yani try to protect it, try to strengthen it. Okay, I want to mention here concerning this particular ayah. In the end of the ayah, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الرَّاشِدُونَ, yani these whom Allah has given this gift to, of loving iman and hating kufr and fusuq and isyan, these are those who are rightly guided. Yani they have proper knowledge, correct knowledge, and yani they are guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to correct actions. So we have already mentioned previously in the definition of iman, yani that the scholars of the people of Sunnah, from amongst the definitions that they gave of iman, they said that iman is qawl al-qalb wal-lisan, wa'amal al-qalb wal-lisan wal-jawari. That iman is the speech of the heart and the speech of the tongue. And the speech of the heart is the i'tiqad, that is what we believe in, that we believe in Allah. And the speech of the tongue is clear. And the actions of the heart are different types of actions. And we're going to talk about some of those actions tonight. There are different types of actions. There's love, and there's yani love for the sake of Allah, hate for the sake of Allah. There's tawakkul ala Allah. And as we'll see tonight, and in the hadith tonight, there's haya, yani modesty, having shame from doing things that are displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not just shame in front of the people, but even if it's in private, shame in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now these are from the actions of the heart. And the actions of the limb, yani, or the actions of the tongue are the speech of the tongue and the movement of the tongue, and the actions of the limbs are the deeds that we do, and we'll see, we'll see tonight, inshallah, also some discussion concerning this. So one of the scholars, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Nasr al-Marwazi, he died in the year 238. So he's from early generation of the Muslims. He died in the year 238, and in the early part of the 3rd century after the Hijrah. He said, in explanation of this particular ayat, how this ayat is not only a proof that iman requires not only that you love obedience to Allah, but you hate disobedience to Allah, of all types. That iman requires that. That's how the Shaykh mentioned it last week, and what we read last week. But he, yani, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Nasr al-Marwazi, rahimahullah, he showed that this ayah is also a proof that iman, the comprehensive definition of iman, that iman is not just the conviction that's in the heart, but it includes every type of act of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of it. All of it. Whether it is, yani, from the obligatory duties or that which is less than that, from the things that Allah loves. Yani, all of it is part of iman, just like every type of disobedience, yani, is rejected and hated by the believer. So the Imam, he said, لَمَّا كَانَتْ الْمَعَاصِي بَعْدُهَا كُفْرٌ وَبَعْدُهَا لَيْسَ بِكُفْرٌ. Yani since al-ma'asi, ma'asiyah, yani disobedience to Allah. Since some acts of disobedience is kufr, and it takes a person out of Islam, and some acts of disobedience are not kufr. So you have acts of disobedience that are kufr and acts of disobedience that are not kufr. So because of that, he said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala farraka bainaha faja'alaha thalatha anwa'in. So because there's different types of acts of disobedience, Allah yani distinguished between them. They are not all the same. Some of it is kufr and some of it is not. So Allah distinguished between them and made them into three types of acts of disobedience. Now when minha kufrun, one type is kufr. It's disbelief, it takes a person out of Islam. It's an act of disobedience that takes a person out of Islam. وَنَعُوا مِنْهَا فُسُوقٌ. And another type is فُسُوق. Yani it's from the major acts of disobedience. It's not kufr, but it's a major act of disobedience. وَنَعُوا أَسْيَانٌ لَيْسَ بِكُفْرٍ وَلَيْسَ فُسُوقٌ. And there's a third type, yani أَسْيَانٌ. Yani it's from the acts of disobedience that are not from the major acts of disobedience. So it's not fusuq. And it's also not kufr. So here we have three types of disobedience that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in this ayah. One type of disobedience that's kufr, takes you out of Islam. And two other types which don't take you out of Islam, but one of them is from the major acts of disobedience, and the other one is from that which is less than that. وَأَخْبَرَ أَنَّهُ كَرَّهَهَا كُلَّهَا لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And then Allah informed us that He made detestable all these types of disobedience to the believers. He made all of it detestable to the disbelievers. On one side, the acts of disobedience, divided them into three types, and all of them are detestable to the believers. وَلَمَّا كَانَتْ الطَّاعَةِ. On the other side, when we see that at ta'at, the acts of obedience to Allah, كُلُّهَا دَاخِلَةٌ فِي الْإِيمَانِ. Since all of it is a part of iman, every act of disobedience, yani every type of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a part of iman. وَلَيْسَ فِيهَا شَيْءٌ خَارِجٌ عَنْهُ. And there's no act of obedience that's not a part of iman. All of it is a part of iman. Is a part of iman. So because of this, since every act of disobedience is a part of iman, and there's no act of disobedience that's outside of iman, لَمْ يُفَرِّقْ بَيْنَهَا. Huh? Disobedience? Allahumma musta'an. Jazakallah khair. Please stop me. Don't let me do that again. So, since every act of obedience is a part of iman, and no act of obedience is outside of iman, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not distinguish between them. He did not say that I have made beloved to you iman, and I made beloved to you the fara'id, obligatory duties, and I made beloved to you, yani, the rest of the acts of obedience that's less than that. He didn't distinguish and say some acts of disobedience is iman, like some acts of disobedience is kufr. He didn't distinguish. He didn't say some acts of obedience, the fara'id, the obligatory duties, yani, that I made this beloved to you, as opposed to the ones that are less than that, they are not beloved. No, he said, all acts of obedience are, Allah has made them beloved to the believers. So he put them all together, and he said, he has made all of them beloved, and he has made, yani, he called them all iman. Habbaba ilaykum al-iman. So that every type of obedience is a part of iman. فَدَخَلَ فِي ذَلِكَ جَمِيعَ الطَّاعَاتِ. And in this way, every type of obedience is a part of iman. And this understanding of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani, compares between acts of disobedience and acts of obedience, and he divided the acts of disobedience into that which is kufr and that which is not, that which is major and that which is less. But as far as iman, acts of obedience, he made all of it iman. All of it is iman. And this is a clear proof, if you think about it, it's a clear proof for our comprehensive definition of iman, that every aspect of obedience to Allah, everything that Allah has ordered us with or encouraged us to do or made known to us that he loves it, every act of obedience is a part of iman. And this is why we are saying that iman, yani, includes the whole of the deen. Because the deen of Islam is only what Allah loves, and what Allah is pleased with, and what Allah has commanded us with, or encouraged us to do, or made us to know that, yani, this is something that brings us near to Him. So this is the first point that we wanted to make, yani, concerning the yani, evidence from last week that shows the comprehensive definition of iman. The second point we wanted to make is in reference to the hadith يعني ثلاث من كن فيه وجد بهن حلاوة الإيمان. That there are three qualities or characteristics that if a person has them, then that person, through that, through having those qualities, a person will have tasted the sweetness of Iman. Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi, in his book, his explanation of Sahih Muslim, Al-Mufhim, lima ashkala min talkhis kitabi Muslim. Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi, rahimahullah, he says in his explanation of that hadith, وَقَدْ أَفَادَ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَنَّ مَحَبَّةَ الْمُؤْمِنِ الموصل لحلاوة الإيمان لابد أن تكون خالصا لله تعالى. يعني this hadith made us to, the benefit from it is that it made us to know that محبت المؤمن, that loving the believer, having love for a believer. يعني the second part of this hadith is what? أن يحب المرأة لا يحبه إلا لله. يعني that you love someone who is a Muslim, a believer, a mu'min, you're not going to love a kafir for the sake of Allah, but that you love this person and you love them only for the sake of Allah. Not because there's some benefit that you get from them, or you just like the way they look, or you like something. No, it's for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said that this hadith makes us to know that loving the believer with that love, which allows a person to enjoy the sweetness of Iman, he said, لا بد أن تكون خالصا لله تعالى. It must be purely for the sake of Allah. It must be purely for the sake of Allah. غير مشوبة بالأغراض الدنيوية. Without being mixed with some worldly goal, some worldly benefit. يعني, I love you for the sake of Allah, but also there's some benefit that I get. That's also one, the part of the reason why I love you. Because there's something that I'm trying to get from you. Or something that I expect to get from you. Or I hope to get from you. It can't be mixed with that. ولا حظوظ البشرية. Nor should there be any portion in your love for the believer for any human being. There's no share for any human being. It's all for the sake of Allah alone. So Imam Qurtubi says that this love of the believer that enables a person to taste the sweetness of Iman, it has to be purely for Allah alone, not mixed with anything else. فَإِنَّ مَنْ أَحَبَّهُ يعني مَنْ أَحَبَّ الْمُؤْمِنِ فَإِنَّ مَنْ أَحَبَّهُ لِذَلِكَ يعني for other reasons, for worldly gains, or for some other reason, whoever loves the believer for that reason, انقطعت محبته إن حصل له ذلك الغرض أو يعس من حصوله. Then his love will be cut off. Once he achieved what he was trying to get, it will be cut off. Once he realized, once he lose hopes that he's going to be able to get it. So he gave up. Like, I know I'm not going to get this from him, so I abandon this person. I don't have any need for him anymore because I got what I wanted, or I know I'm not going to get it. So whoever loves the believer for some other reason, then once they get what they want, the love will be cut off. Or once they realize they're not going to get it, the love will be cut off. And then he says, walakin. He didn't say walakin, but I'm saying, but as of that, contrary to what? Mahabbatul mu'min wazifatun muta'ayyina ala dawam. But in reality, the love of the believer is a wazifa. A wazifa is like a job. That is what you do all the time. It's something that you are constantly engaged in. That you must do. You have to do it all the time, consistently, continuously. The love of the believer is something that has to be ongoing. It's not like you can love the believer sometimes and not other times. No, the love of the believer for the sake of Allah is all the time, no matter what. Even if you found some benefit or you didn't find it, you still love the believer all the time. وَلَمَّا كَانَتِ الْمَحَبَّةِ لِلْأَغْرَادِ هِيَ الْغَالِبَةِ قل وجدان تلك الحلاوة بل قد انعدما. But since the love mostly that we find is love for those reasons, some other benefit that's not purely for the sake of Allah, since that is the type of love that mostly exists, so قل وجدان تلك الحلاوة. So it is rare that sweetness of Iman is realized, achieved, experienced. It is rare. Why? Because most of the love that people have for one another, that a person has for the believer, most of it is not purely for the sake of Allah alone. And therefore, it is rare that a person achieves, yani, the halawat al iman. By the way, the first question in the study guide for today has the word rarity. And I spelled it R-A-R-E. Something like that. T-Y. It should be R-A-R-E. ITY. I already printed out before it was brought to my attention. So I just want to mention it now because I'll probably forget at the end. So just please correct that. So it is rare that a person has experienced this halawat al-Iman because it is rare that people love one another purely for the sake of Allah alone. So if a person wants to experience this halawat al-Iman, then they have to love Allah and His Messenger more than everything else, everyone else. And they also have to love a believer. The believer that you love, you have to love the believer for the sake of Allah alone, not mixed with anything else. And of course you have to hate, yani abandoning your deen, or going back to kufr after Allah has saved you from it, more than you hate being thrown into the hellfire. Then Imam Qutbi says, لَا سِيَمَ فِي هَذِي الْأَزْمَامِ الَّتِي قَدْ أَمَّحَا فِيهَا أَكْثَرُ رُسُومَ الْإِيمَانِ. Especially, this is rare, that a person experiences the sweetness of Iman because of the absence of love purely for the sake of Allah. He said, this is rare, especially in this time. And you keep it in mind that Imam Qutbi, and he died in the year 656, yani in the 7th century of the Hijrah, like 700 years ago, or 800, something like that. He's saying it was rare in that time. What about today then? Maybe it's non-existent today. He said, especially in this time, in which the traces of Iman, yani, have vanished, have disappeared. That was 800 years ago. وَعَلَى الْجُمْلَةِ يَعْنِي فَهُبَّةُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنَ الْإِبَادَةِ أَلَّتِي لَبُدَّ فِيهَا مِنَ الْإِخْلَاصِ فِي حُسْنِ النِّيَاتِ. So in summary, he's saying that the love of the believers is, yani, from those acts of worship that must be done with ikhlas, sincerely for the sake of Allah, yani having, yani, in one's good intention must be, yani, that a person loves whoever they love from amongst the believers, sincerely, completely, for the sake of Allah. That was from last week. Those two evidences that we discussed here now, from what we discussed last week. And today, inshallah, we're going to look to, in the English, we're going to read from the middle of the page, page 28. And in Arabic, it's on the bottom of page 25. If you're reading from Arabic, it's on the bottom of page 25. And in English, it's in the middle of page 28. So, the Shaykh says here, وَكَذَلِكْ فِي الصَّحِيحَيْنِ مِنْ حَدِيثِ أَبِي هُرَيْرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ الْإِيمَانِ بِضْعٌ وَسَبْعُونَ شُعْبَةً أَعْلَاهَا قَوْلُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَدْنَاهَا إِمَاطَةُ الْأَذَى عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ وَالْحَيَاءُ شُعْبَةٌ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. This hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. The wording here is the wording of Imam Muslim. Yani, the wording, the narration of Bukhari is Al-Iman bid'un wa sittuna shu'ba. Wal-hayau shu'batun min al-Iman. Okay, so the wording here is, bring some extra detail that's very important for our discussion tonight. In the Sahih of Muslim, it's narrated that Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Iman is bid'un wa sab'una shu'ba. Yani, 70 some odd branches. Yani, bid'un is a number that usually refers to something from 3 to 10 or 3 to 9. The scholars differ about it, but yani, some number, yani, 10 or less than 10. So 70, some odd branches. Iman contains, or it exists, yani, it consists of 70, some odd branches. In Bukhari, it has 60. In Muslim, he has the wording, a'laha, the highest of those branches of Iman, is the saying, La ilaha illallah. And the lowest of them, the least of them, is removing something harmful from the road. And these words are not in the Sahih of Bukhari. These two sentences. The highest of them is La ilaha illallah, and the least of them is removing something harmful from the road. This is in the narration of Sahih Muslim. Wal haya'u shu'batun min al-iman. That's in both narrations. And haya, yani modesty, shyness, feeling shame, yani, in doing something bad, yani, this is a branch of Iman. Here I want to just quote, yani, from Sheikh Abdul Razak, the son of Sheikh Abdul Muslim al-Abad, Afidhum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. Sheikh Abdul Razak, he said, in his discussion of this hadith, he said, this is a tremendous hadith, a great hadith, in which it has the mention in it that Iman has many branches, shu'ab kathira, and that yani covers or includes many affairs of khair. And also that these branches has a highest yani branch and a lowest branch, and that the highest of them is the saying of La ilaha illallah. And in this is an indication, yani in this statement, that the highest of the branches of Iman is the saying La ilaha illallah. In this is an indication that saying La ilaha illallah, it is the highest level of Iman, yani in its station or its status, it has the highest place. The saying La ilaha illallah. And that this saying La ilaha illallah, it is a word, yani a kalima, a statement, that the whole of the deen of Allah is based upon. Yani it's the foundation of the whole of the deen of Allah. And that also, in this hadith, yani there's an understanding that we understand that the least branch of Iman is removing something harmful from the world. And in this is an indication that righteous deeds, even if they are small, they are still a part of what is called Iman. Yani Iman includes righteous deeds, however small they may be. Even if it's just removing a twig from the road, that's also a part of Iman. In addition, this hadith also makes us to know that Iman includes the actions of the heart. Yani because it mentions what? That Al-Haya is a branch of Iman. This is how the Shaykh yani, introduced this hadith. These are the comments that he made concerning the introduction of this hadith. And after that, I'm going to turn to page 26. And I don't know in the English if it's yani, still on the same page. But on the next page in Arabic, the Shaykh Al-Imam, he says, هَذَا صَرِيحٌ yani, this hadith is clear. أَنَّ الْإِيمَانِ يَشْمَلُ أَقْوَالَ اللِّسَانِ وَأَعْمَالَ الْجُوَارِ وَاعْتِقَادَاتِ وَالْأَخْلَاقِ وَالْقِيَامِ بِحَقِّ اللَّهِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ إِلَى خَلْقِهِ yani, this hadith is clear in indicating that Iman covers, includes, encompasses speech of the tongue, actions of the limbs, وَالْإِعْتِقَادَاتِ and also, yani things that we believe in, our convictions, and akhlaq, and character, morals or manners. And in addition, it also includes the fulfillment of the right of Allah, and yani al-ihsan ila khalqihi, and doing good to Allah's creatures. Here again, I want to comment. Take a comment, very beautiful comment that Shaykh Abdul Razak mentions concerning yani this statement of the Imam here. The Imam says this hadith is clear in indicating that Iman includes speech of the tongue, actions of the limbs, i'tiqadat, convictions, yani things that we believe in our heart, as well as character and manners, and the fulfillment of the rights of Allah, and the fulfillment of the yani of doing good towards the creatures. Yani as far as the rights of Allah, in this hadith, what is indicated here is ubudiyah, yani that worship belongs to Allah alone. And that's clear. Yani everybody knows the meaning of La ilaha illallah. It means what? La ma'abud bihaqin illallah. That there's nothing or no one that has a right that deserves to be worshipped except Allah. So this hadith clearly indicates the right of Allah in the statement La ilaha illallah. That Allah is the only one that deserves to be worshipped. As far as ihsan ila khalq, yani doing good to the creatures, removing something harmful from the world is a proof what? That it is some is a part of Iman, that is pleasing to Allah, that it's a good deed, that a person even removes some, whatever it might be, however small it may be, something that could be harmful to the people from the road. Before that he said that it also includes speech of the tongue, and I think it's pretty clear that the speech of the tongue, yani is in the statement, that the Prophet ﷺ said, that Iman includes what? قَوْلُ يعني أَعْلَاهَا the highest of it is, قَوْلُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ the statement saying لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ as far as the actions of the limbs, this is pointed to a what? The action of removing something harmful from the road. But here, yani, the point that I want to come to here is the two things in between. The speech of the tongue and the actions of the limbs, and in the end, fulfilling the rights of Allah and the doing good to the people. In between he said, الاعتقادات والأخلاق. This explanation that he gave here is really a tremendous explanation of great benefit, mashallah. The Shaykh says, how does this hadith indicate the i'tiqadat? Yani what is in this hadith that indicates, yani that part of iman is what we believe in, the convictions that we have in our heart? He says, in the saying, in this hadith, the saying La ilaha illallah is an indication that iman includes what we believe in our heart. How so? Saying La ilaha illallah. He said, because al-qawl, speech, when it is mentioned in its unrestricted sense, إِذَا أُطْلِقْ يعني al-qawl إِذَا أُطْلِقْ يُرَادُ بِهِ قَوْلَ اللِّسَانِ نُطْقًا وَقَوْلَ الْقَلْبِ اِعْتِقَادًا. Yani when the word in Arabic qawl is mentioned unrestrictedly, without any restriction on it, just speech by itself, what is intended by it is speech of the tongue and the i'tiqad that's in the heart. It includes both of them when you say speech. He said an example of this is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we've covered previously, قُولُوا آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُولُوا آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ. Say, we believe in Allah. And what has been revealed to us, and what was sent down to the prophets and so on to the end of the ayat, right? Do we imagine that that ayat, قُولُوا آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ, that Allah is ordering us to just say on our tongue, I believe in Allah? We don't imagine that. We don't read that. Allah said, قُولُوا آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ. Say, we believe in Allah. That He only means just say it on your tongue. We know that, that would be of no benefit, because the hypocrites say they believe. There's no benefit in just saying it on your tongue unless it's in your heart. So the Shaykh is saying that the statement in this hadith, that the highest level of iman is saying La ilaha illallah. Saying La ilaha illallah means saying it on your tongue while having believing it in your heart. So that's how this statement in this hadith is an indication of yani that iman, yani this hadith is a proof that iman includes i'tiqad, yani what we believe in. And he said, yani further in discussing this, he said, in this ayah is a proof that say here, say we believe in Allah, say that it means not just on the tongue, but it means believe it in your heart, that you have to have this i'tiqad in your heart. And he said, and for this reason, when the word qawl is used in Arabic, in the unrestricted sense, it includes yani qawl al-qalb wal-lisan, yani the speech of the heart and the tongue, meaning the conviction of the heart and that which is expressed on the tongue. It includes both of them. While if the word qawl is used in a restricted sense, then it may mean either one of them, depending on what is restricted by. Example, to clarify what he's meaning here, for example, in Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah 167th Ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَقُولُونَ بِأَفْوَاهِمْ مَا لَيْسَ بِقُلُوبِهِمْ, that they say with their mouths, yani they express with their tongues that which is not in their hearts. They say, يَقُولُونَ. Here, Allah restricts the meaning of قَوْل here to the tongue, because He said they say with their mouths that which is not in their hearts. Otherwise, if the qawl is expressed yani unrestrictedly, then it means the speech on the tongue and the conviction in the heart. Unless it is restricted, yani unless it is defined as being either one of them, the speech of the heart or the speech of the tongue. So in the unrestricted sense then, yani saying La ilaha illallah means saying it on your tongue, you have to express it. And as well you have to have that conviction that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah in your heart. Naam. The Shaykh also said, and then, yani, this is the final comment I want to make from the Shaykh. He said, as far as how does iman include akhlaq, he mentioned two examples. In this hadith, there's removing something from the road, and this is from the akhlaq al-fi'liya, yani character that's expressed in actions. Actions that we do that's a part of our character, yani in our interactions with the people in the society. And he said the second example of character in this hadith is not an aspect of character that's an action that's seen outwardly, but it's an action of the heart, and that is in the mention of al-haya. Al-haya. Yani al-haya is an aspect of character. It's an aspect of character that's in the heart, yani, and it's from the highest of the aspects of character that there is in Islam. Yani, the Shaykh says that based upon it, every other noble characteristic that we have is based upon al-haya, that a person has a consciousness, a realization of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seeing us, hearing us, knowing what we are doing and even what we are thinking. That a person has that consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that haya, as some of the scholars said, and the Shaykh mentions it, also alludes to it, is the thing that yani compels a person to do good, knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. It is the thing that restrains a person from doing evil, because they have haya in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Forget about the shyness that people have, or the shame that people have in front of the people. We're talking about, more importantly, the haya in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is from yani character, the character of iman. Character of iman. So the Shaykh, he said, in closing here with this point, he says, this hadith has combined the whole of the deen. Yani, meaning the speech on the tongue, the actions of the limbs, the i'tiqadat, the convictions in the heart, the character and manners and morals, the fulfillment of the rights of Allah and the fulfillment of the rights of the people. And so this indicates, yani, clearly that iman includes all of these things, yani, that we have been discussing, yani, as a part of the comprehensive definition of iman. Okay, now I'm going to read back to what the Shaykh said here. And yani, just without a lot of commentary, I'm going to just try to yani, read what he says here and see yani, the benefit in what he has explained here. Shaykh says, yani, this hadith is clear in indicating that iman includes speech of the tongue, actions of the limbs, convictions, i'tiqadat, yani things that we believe, our creed that's in the heart, as well as al-akhlaq, character, manners and morals, fulfilling the rights of Allah and the rights of the people, or doing good by the people, the creation. فَجَمَعَ فِي هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ بَيْنَ أَعْلَاهُ وَأَصْلِهِ وَقَاعِدَتِهِ وَهُوَ قَوْلُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ اِعْتِقَادًا وَتَأَلُّهًا وَإِخْلَاصًا لِلَّهِ. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this hadith has combined between, he has collected yani every aspect of the deen in this hadith, and he has combined between the highest aspect of iman, wa aslihi, yani the asl of iman, and the qa'idah, the yani foundation that everything else is built upon, the foundation of iman, and that is the saying la ilaha illallah. Yani la ilaha illallah is the highest aspect branch of iman, and it is the asl, the source of iman, and it is the foundation that everything else is built upon. Yani the saying la ilaha illallah, if a person believes in it, and if a person recognizes from it that Allah, due to his divinity, he is the only one that has the right to be worshipped, and then that the person makes exclusive the worship for Allah alone. Yani ikhlasan lillahi. He is joined between this, the highest aspect of iman, and between adnahu, the lowest aspect or branch of iman, and that is removing a bone or a thorn or anything that's harmful from the road. Yani removing anything that might harm the people from the road. فَكَيْفَ بِمَا فَوْقَ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْإِحْسَانِ. So what about if a person does more than that, than just removing yani a thorn from the road? What about things that are bigger than that, that are greater than that? How much more so then are these aspects of iman? And then the Shaykh says, وَذَكَرَ الْحَيَاءَ وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ لِأَنَّ الْحَيَاءَ بِهِ حَيَاةُ الْإِيمَانِ وَبِهِ يَدَعُ الْعَبْدُ كُلَّ فِعْلٍ قَبِيحٍ كَمَا بِهِ يَتَحَقَّقُ كُلُّ خُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ. This is also tremendous. Yani Shaykh al-Imam Sa'di rahimahullah, he says, yani that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith mentioned the highest aspect of iman and the least of iman. And he also mentioned here al-haya. And Allah knows best, he said, but yani his understanding of it, that he has mentioned haya because al-haya, modesty, it is through it that iman has life. Yani a person has iman, but if they didn't have modesty, where would be the life of iman? Yani what would restrain them from committing acts of disobedience? What would push them to do things that are pleasing to Allah if they didn't have al-haya? And in the authentic hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, al-haya'u khayrun kulluhu. And in some of the narrations it says, Al-Haya'u kulluhu khayrun. Yani that haya, all of it is good. The whole of it is good. And in another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Haya'u la ya'ati illa bi khayr. That it doesn't bring except good. Al-Haya'. Yani it is the source of good. And it is the life of iman that a person has haya. If a person doesn't have haya, then the Prophet ﷺ said, what? Do whatever you want to do. And if you don't have haya, there's no control. You're out of control. There's nothing to restrain you. So he says here, yani, so haya, it is the life of iman, and because of haya, due to it, by means of it, the abd leaves off, abandons every ugly action, every filthy action. Likewise, bihi yatahakaku kullu khulukin hasanin. Yani, and it is due to iman that a person achieves or realizes, yani, every aspect of good character, due to iman. And this shows the importance of, I mean, due to haya. And this shows the importance of al-haya, yani, as an aspect of iman. He didn't say it was the highest nor the lowest, but it is an aspect of iman, and it is a great aspect of iman. Yani, the shaykh is saying here that it is through haya that iman has life, and that a person abstains from evil and realizes the doing of good. وَهَذِهِ الشُّعَبْ. And this also makes us to know, as the shaykh said in another place, yani, it makes us to know that there are different levels of iman, just like there are different branches of iman. There are higher levels and there are lower levels. The highest of them is the saying of La ilaha illallah, saying it on the tongue, believing it in the heart, and then acting upon it, realizing it, in it making worship exclusively for Allah alone. And the lowest of it is removing something harmful from the world, and in between there are all types of branches of iman, different levels of iman. Some of them closer to the higher level, some of them closer to the lesser level. They are all different aspects of iman. All of it is a part of iman. The shaykh says, وَهَذِهِ الشُّعَبْ الْمَذْكُورِ فِي هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ. Here, جَمِيعُ شَرَائِ الدِّينِ الظَّاهِرَ وَالْبَاطِنَةِ. That these, yani, shu'ab, these branches of iman that are mentioned in this hadith, include the whole of everything that Allah has legislated in this deen, outwardly and inwardly. And then he says, وَهَذَا, and this is, yani, the final paragraph of what the shaykh says. He said, وَهَذَا, good time. وَهَذَا أَيْضًا صَرِيحٌ فِي أَنَّ الْإِيمَانِ يَزِيدُ وَيَنْقُصُ بِحَسَبِ زِيَادَةِ هَذِهِ الشَّرَائِعِ وَالشُّعُبِ وَاتِّصَافِ الْعَبْدِ بِهَا أَوْ عَدَمِهِ. Yani, that this also, this hadith also, is clear in proving that iman increases and decreases in accordance with the ziyada, the increase of these, yani, things that Allah has legislated, these branches of iman. The more a person realizes, actualizes, acts upon these branches of iman, the more his iman will increase. Or the absence of it. The more a person, the less a person has these aspects of iman, yani, then his iman will decrease. The more a person is described with these branches of iman, the more their iman will increase and be strengthened, and the opposite is also true. And then the shaykh says, وَمِنْ الْمَعْلُومِ أَنَّ النَّاسَ يَتَفَاوَتُونَ فِيهَا تَفَاوَتًا كَثِيرًا. And it is also well known that the people are on greatly different levels of iman. That people are not on the same level in iman. If we know that there are different levels of branches of iman, some of them are higher and some of them are lesser, then the people who have the higher branches of iman, or more of it, or greater actualization of it, definitely their iman is going to be on a different level than the people who don't have those aspects of iman, or haven't actualized them or realized them to the same extent. So it is well known that the people, the levels of iman and the people differ greatly. Differ greatly. And this is also a very important topic. And from the benefits of this point, yani, if it can be proven from what we discussed tonight, that the levels of iman of the people, and we discussed it previously, right? The people in Jannah are going to be on different levels. Some of the people in Jannah are going to be looking up to the people in the Ghurf. That means they are on different levels because of the levels of their iman and their worship of Allah in this world. And some of the people, the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَهُمْ darajat عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. They will have darajat, عَالِيَة, with their Lord, high levels of iman. And some of them will be in Jannah til Firdaus. Yani not everybody's going to be in the same place in Jannah. So the levels of iman are not the same. We also mentioned in Surah Al-Fatiha that the people of iman who will enter the Jannah, yani that they're not the same. Some of them are what? ظَالِمُ لِنَفْسِي. Some of them مُقْتَصِد. Some of them سَابِكُن بِالْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنَا. So the levels of iman, there are lots of evidences to prove this. Here the Shaykh is closing with this point, that it is well known. And it has already been proven in what we have discussed previously, that the levels of iman of the people differ greatly. فَمَنْ زَعَمَ أَنَّ الْإِيمَانَ لَا يَزِيدْ وَلَا يَنْقُصْ فَقَدْ خَالَفَ الْحِسَّةِ مَعَ مُخَالِفَتِهِ لِلنُّصُوصِ الشَّارِعِ كَمَا تَرَى. So whoever claims that iman does not increase and decrease, then they have opposed, yani that which is experienced by our senses, what a person sees and what a person experiences in the physical world. They have contradicted that, along with their opposition and contradiction to the textual proofs from the Shari, yani from the Quran, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, and from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Sunnah, as you have seen. Yani the Shaykh is saying here what? That iman increases and decreases. And we said this in the beginning of the definition, and the definition of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah that the Shaykh mentioned in, as the third definition, that the people, yani the people of Sunnah, the Ahlul Sunnah, the A'imma and the Salaf, they used to say that iman, yani is qawl and amal and i'tiqad, yazidu bita'a wa yanqusu bima'asiyah, that it increases with obedience and decreases with disobedience. And this is crystal clear to anybody who is open-minded, that if all of these, every act of obedience is a part of iman, then the more a person does acts of obedience, yani, the more their iman will increase. And the more they do acts of disobedience, the more their iman will decrease. Yani, it just makes sense. Not only is there legal proofs in the Sharia, but it's logical. It's logical that the person who prays five times a day in the masjid and jama'ah and stands in the first row is not like the person who prays five times a day but doesn't come to the masjid, or comes to the masjid but doesn't pray in the first row, and so on and so forth. And the person who prays with khushu' and ikhlas is not going to be the same. The iman of that person is not the same as the person who prays, yani, without khushu'. Anyway, their mind is roaming someplace else and they're not paying attention to what they're actually engaged in. So here the Shaykh is saying what? That iman increases and decreases. We're going to talk about this later on in the book a little bit. And whoever denies that, then they have opposed that which we experience in our own lives, and they have opposed the textual evidences from the Sharia. Okay, take a few more minutes, inshallah, to look at final point that we'll try to go through without much commentary. And this is, yani, related to the hadith of Shu'b al-Iman, that the branches of Iman are many. In Fath al-Bari, the explanation of Sahih al-Bukhari, Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, he mentions, yani, some discussion, I'm not going to read the whole of the discussion, but he said that some of the scholars of the past, based on this hadith, attempted to enumerate these 60 or 70 some odd branches of Iman. Some of the scholars said that this number is not what is intended, but what is intended is that there are many, the branches of Iman are many. And that is also understood in the Arabic language. But some scholars said no. The Prophet ﷺ said 60 or 70 some odd branches, so they are, we want to know what they are. Now of course this is by, yani this is ijtihad. So different scholars came up with different things, and in any case, yani the Shaykh is saying here, that I'm mentioning here what I read from some of the scholars who mentioned the tariqah of Ibn Hibban, rahimahullah, in enumerating these 60 or 70 some odd branches of Iman. And he said, I have summarized here what the people mentioned from him, and that is that the branches of Iman, yani, branch out from three sources: the actions of the heart, the actions of the tongue, and the actions of the body. So if we were to look at this carefully, and we don't have a lot of time to look at it, yani, too carefully, but if we were to look at it carefully, we will see that since Iman is expressed in the heart, it's expressed on the tongue, and it's expressed by the limbs of the body, so there must be different aspects of Iman from all three of these sources. So here Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah mentions a summary of what Yani the scholars before him said concerning this. So he divided them up into three categories according to the tariqah of Ibn Hibban rahimahullah, and he said the first of them is a'mal al-qalb, the actions of the heart. And in it, it includes the actions of the heart, he said, includes the mu'taqadat, yani the things that we believe, our convictions, and the niyat, our intentions, is also included in the actions of the heart. Not just the other types of actions, but even our conviction, what we believe, he's saying, all of that is from the actions of the heart. Even though, yani, some of the scholars said, قَوْلُ الْقَلْبِ وَعَمَلُ الْقَلْبِ, yani divided in قَوْلُ الْعَمَلِ, but here he's just putting it all together, everything related to the heart. So he said, there are 24 characteristics. This is what Ibn Hajjah said. 24 characteristics, and this is ijtihad. So all the scholars said something different, right? But he came up to, yani, 69 branches. And he said, if you join some of them that we have made subdivisions, then you can come up with 79. And according to both narrations, the narration of Bukhari and the narration of Muslim, 60 some odd branches or 70 some odd branches. The first things that he mentioned is the arkan of Iman, believing in Allah, and that includes believing in His that, His divine being, His sifat, His qualities and characteristics, and singling Him out. Yani declaring that He is alone in what? In that there is nothing like Him. And believing that everything besides Him came into existence. And it didn't always exist. Allah is eternal. The second thing he said, believing in the angel, His angels, His books, His messengers, and the qadr, the good and the evil of it, and the yawmul akhir. These are the first six things that he mentioned, the arkan of Iman. And included in believing in the last day, included in that is the questioning in the grave, and the resurrection, and the gathering, and the accounting, and the scales, the mizan, what deeds would be weighed upon, and the sirat that people would have to cross, and the jannah and nar. The seventh thing he mentioned is muhabbatullah. The eighth thing he mentioned is loving and hating for the sake of Allah. The ninth thing he mentioned is loving the Prophet ﷺ and believing that he deserves, yani, to be respected, which includes, yani, praying for him, making salat upon him, and following his sunnah. The tenth thing he mentioned is ikhlas. And included in this is abandoning riya, doing things to be seen, ostentation, or nifaq. Yani doing something outwardly, while that's not what's in one's heart. The 11th and 12th and 13th and 14th he mentioned is at-tawbah. Al-khawf, al-raja' and al-shukr. Yani repentance is from the actions of the heart. Fearing Allah. Hope in Allah. Being grateful and thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wal-wafa'. Yani that a person is, yani has allegiance and loyalty, faithfulness, fidelity, yani to whatever is pleasing to Allah. As-sabr and ar-rida bil-qadha. Patience is from the actions of the heart. This is one of the actions of the heart that we are in dire need of. Because indeed, yani patience is one of the keys to success for the believer in this world. As-sabr and as-shukr. As the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in a number of hadith. Yani, the ajaban li amr al-mu'min. Amazing is the fear of the believer. And when good comes to him, he's thankful. When other than that comes to him, he's patient. So a person, the whole of their affair will be good if they have patience and gratitude. These are from the actions of the heart. Hope in Allah. Yani sabr, rida, being pleased with what Allah has decreed. When that befalls us, which we don't like, we're pleased with it because we know it's the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, raditu billahi rabban, wa bil islami deena, wa bi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam nabiyin. I am pleased with Allah as my Rabb. And al-qadha, qadr al-qadha, we said previously, what is a part of? Rububiyyah. Being pleased with Allah as your Rabb means being pleased with whatever befalls you. Whether it's something distasteful or whatever. This is from the actions of the heart. At-tawakkul, reliance upon Allah, which is from the greatest of the actions of the heart. Reliance, dependence on Allah alone. Ar-Rahma, being merciful. Being merciful. Being merciful to the people. To our families, to our children, to our spouse, to our neighbors, to our friends and everybody else. Having mercy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have not sent you except as a rahmah for the alameen. Not just for the believers. For the alameen. Rahmah in the heart of the believer. This is from the great acts of obedience, of iman in the hearts of the believers. Rahmah, tawadu, being humble. And this means having respect for the elders. And having mercy for our young. And abandoning pride and conceitedness. and abandoning envy and hatred and anger. All of these are from the aspects A'mal al-Qalb. And of course we're going to do them quickly because any time has run out on us. Secondly, he said A'mal al-Lisan. He only listed seven things, seven khisal. And that doesn't mean that these are the only things. This is ijtihad, right? From the A'mal of the Lisan, he said at-talaffuz bit-tawheed. Look at the seven things that he mentioned. Perhaps some of us, if we thought about the acts of the tongue that are acts of obedience, we might come up with something else. But the first thing he mentions, talafud bit-tawheed. Yani expressing tawheed, la ilaha illallah. And we already said what? That this is the highest level of iman. And it's the foundation of the deen, and everything else is built upon it. Then he said, tilawatul Qur'an. And what else could come second except? Yani reciting the book of Allah. The third thing he said is quite amazing, actually. Maybe we wouldn't have thought of it. He said, ta'allum al-ilm wa ta'alimi. Yani learning knowledge and teaching it. And the Prophet ﷺ said, khayrukum man ta'allam al-Qur'an wa 'allamahu. Yani the best of you are those who learn the Qur'an and teach it. He came with the third thing, learning knowledge and teaching it. Then he said a dua wa dhikr, and included in that is istighfar. Yani supplicating to Allah, remembering Allah, praising and glorifying Allah, seeking forgiveness, and avoiding al-laghwi. Yani that speech which is of no benefit and doesn't have any khayr in it. The last thing he said is a'mal al-badan, the actions, yani the actions or the works of the body. And he said this includes yani 38 characteristics or qualities of iman, the actions of the body. He divided them into three categories: that which is specific to you as an individual that you just do by yourself, yani for yourself. And then he said that which is connected to al-ittiba, yani those who you have a connection, a direct relation to, like your family members and people, relatives and people who are close to you. And the third category, he said, that which is connected to al-aama, yani the general people in the society. Not specific to yourself, nor that which is to the people who are close to you, like your parents and your children and your spouse and yani your relatives and things like this. So he divided them into three categories. He said there are 38 qualities or characteristics. From that which is specific to you individually, he said there are 15. I'm going to read them quickly. Yani, from amongst them, of course, are the pillars of iman, the five pillars of iman, right? And then he mentions other things. We want to, the five pillars of iman we already know, but what about the other things? So he said there are 15 specific to you as an individual. The first of them is at-tathir, hissan wa hukman, purification, physical purification like wudu, and non other than physical purification like tayammum, yani purification. And included in this is avoiding yani impurities, covering your aura, covering the private parts. As salat, from the pillars of iman, the obligatory and the voluntary. As zakat, obligatory and voluntary. Freeing slaves. Al-jud, yani generosity, including feeding people food and honoring the guests. As siyam, the obligatory and the voluntary. Al-hajj and umrah, obligatory and voluntary. Al-tawaf, circumambulation of the Kaaba. Al-i'tikaf, and remaining in the masjid, in seclusion for the worship of Allah. Al-iltimas laylatul qadr. Yani a person making an effort to seek out laylatul qadr. To try to be engaged in worship on the night of yani qadr. The 12th matter, he said, al-firaru bid-deen. That a person flees to save their deen. And part of this, he said, is that a person migrates, yani from the land of kufr, from the land of shirk, yani to the land of the Muslims. Walwafa bin nadri, yani fulfilling a vow when you make a vow. There's a hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said, it's in Bukhari, that there are some people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can only get good out of them by a vow. Vowing, oh Allah, if you save me, if you heal me, if you give me a wife, I'll do this, is yani makruh. A person shouldn't do this. Rather, you should just do good. Allah is going to do good by you. You don't have to vow, make a deal, make a bargain with Allah. But the Prophet ﷺ said, there are some people, no good will come out of them except through a vow. I'm just mentioning that as a fa'idah. Yani don't make vows, just do good for the sake of Allah. At-tahari fil ayman, that a person be careful in swearing. Al-half, al-qasam, wallahi, wallahi, wallahi. Worse than that is swearing by other than Allah, like the people in Jahiliyyah in this country do. And maybe some of the Muslims too. Yani fulfilling the kafarat, expiation. A person made a mistake or did something wrong, they have to expiate for it. Then he said, that's what he mentioned for the individual. He said, in reference to those things that are people who are related to you, he said there are six. And in all of this, the above 15 and these six are from the 38 that are related to A'mal al-Badin. He said those six are ta'affuf bin nikah. Yani making an effort, yani through marriage to protect yourself from falling into, yani sinful behavior. Al-qiyam bi huquq al-ayyal. Yani fulfilling the rights of those who are dependent upon you. Whether it is your children, your parents, your spouse, whoever is dependent upon you. Al-birr walidain. Yani being dutiful and kind and generous to your parents. And this includes avoiding disobedience of parents. If anybody's parents is living, even if they are not Muslim, unless they order you to do something in disobedience to Allah, dutifulness to parents is for all parents, whether they're Muslim or Mushrik, as is clearly indicated in Surah Al-Luqman. Tarbiyatul Awlad, yani raising your children properly. Silatul Rahim, keeping ties with your blood relations. And the last thing he mentioned is ta'atu as-sada aw ar-rifq bil-abid. Yani that in the master and slave relationship, that the slave should be obedient to the master, and the master should be gentle with the slave. From those things that are related to the general society, yani the good deeds of the of actions of the body that are part of Iman, he said there are 17. And this completes, yani the 38 of the actions of the body. He said, al-qiyam bil-imra'ati, bil-imra'ati, ma'al-adil. Yani the person who has a position of authority or power, that they, yani exercise it with justice. Mutabatul jama'ah, sticking to the jama'ah. Yani the jama'atul muslimin, not separating yourselves. Ta'atu ulil amr, obeying those who are in authority. Min al muslimin. Well, islah, and I don't mean that we shouldn't obey the laws in the land of kufr. If we happen to be here and we can't get out of here, then we have to abide by the laws too, unless they order us to do something disobedient to Allah. He said, islah bayn al nas. Yani rectifying the affairs between the people. Yani when people have disputes, fixing them. And this includes fighting against the Khawarij and the Bughat. And some of the scholars said the Khawarij are those who in the time of Ali ibn Abi Talib, they declared the kufr of the Hukam and they fought against yani the Muslims. They declared the Hukam to be kuffar, and some of the Muslim scholars said that they were kuffar, yani because of their actions. As opposed to the Bughat are those who yani fought against the rulers, but not because of declaring them kufr for some other reason. Yani, in other words, fighting against those who oppose the government, the rulers. He said also, yani, working with one another in that which is good. That includes enjoying the good and forbidding the wrong. Establishing the hudud, yani, the legal punishments that Allah has made. Jihad in the way of Allah. And this also includes al-murabata, yani, guarding the frontiers of the Muslim lands. And whatever else that means, outside of the physical guarding of the Muslim lands. Yani, guarding the prayers and so on. Ada' al-amana. Yani, if you're giving a trust, fulfill it. And this includes the khumus. Yani, the fifth from the spoils of war that it has to be turned over to the leader of the Muslims. It's not for a person to keep. Al-qard ma'a wafa'ihi. Yani, giving to the person who is, yani, needs. Yani, loaning to a person who's in need, and the person who receives it, paying it back. Yani, honoring your neighbors. Yani, having good dealings with the people. Yani, husnu al-mu'amala, with the people in the side. And this includes collecting your wealth from lawful sources. Spending your wealth in its rightful places. And this includes avoiding wastefulness and extravagance. Radd al-salam, yani from the rights of a Muslim and another one, returning salam. Tashmit al-atas, if a person sneezes and says, alhamdulillah, say, ya rahmukallah. Holding back, yani, yourself. Kaf al-adha anil nas, not harming the people. And ijtinab al-lahwi, yani avoiding lahu, yani the things occupying yourself with those things of amusement and play that have no benefit in them. And finally he said, imatat al-adha an al-tariq, yani the lowest of the branches of iman is removing something harmful from the road. He said these are 69 qualities or characteristics of iman, and it is possible to count them as 79 if we include some of the things that we said are part of something else. Then it could be 79. Wallahu a'alamu. And this is what we're going to stop with. All I want to say is that, yani, this is just a quick glimpse of some of the actions, yani, of the heart, the actions of the tongue, the actions of the limbs that are a part of iman, When in reality, of course, we know that the branches of Iman, the things that are part of Iman, the aspects of Iman include everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the authentic hadith, that is from the things that are pleasing to Allah and beloved by Allah. It includes all of that. These are just, yani, aspects that some of the scholars have pointed out and brought together as some of what might be the branches of Iman that was intended by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for us to think about and to reflect upon and to look at where we have fallen short. Which of these aspects of Iman we have abandoned? Which of these aspects of Iman we have not taken seriously? We have not done well with? Let us try to do a little more, yani, to capture all of these aspects of Iman to the best of our ability. Let us try to do whatever we are doing of them already a little bit better. Yani, let's do a little more and let's do a little better. Let's look at these things that have been mentioned here, and other than that of what is in the Quran and the Sunnah, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us sincerity in trying to do that which is pleasing to Him and to make us successful in being able to do it. بإذنه تعالى سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.